Then there is another one which is good, which I so often tell those who are interested in Buddhism, the story. And the story is, from there, from that state of, that, as you said, that stage had passed, now Buddha is walking towards the habitations.
What?
Towards the habitation where the people are inhabiting. From a place of solitude, he is coming now back to the city life. So while he has come on his way, naturally he got sage by his side, then so many, two or three others followed, and so forth, unbeknown to them why they are doing it. But that's the attraction, that's the personality. So they are just following him, and naturally there is no other way of sustenance except to beg. So likewise, with passage of time, there is a whole crowd there that's following. So they have to go on begging all the time. The whole day passes by in begging for food, you know, for just filling this little span. This little thing. Just a span like that. You know. This bag. Yeah. So one day Buddha turns to them and tells them, how about going to a place where we need not have to beg? Otherwise it takes all our time. The whole day is spent in begging like that. We should go and find some very wealthy farmer, you know, where we can have, and no need to go for begging for some good time. So they forsake going from place to place and spending their time in begging, and they are now in search of a sizable big farmstead. So at last, one afternoon, say at about 3 o'clock or 2:30, they reach a place which is a big farmstead there. And there is a huge place, you see, built for the owner of the place. And they are there. And Buddha turns to them and says, yeah, we have come to this place now. Let's go. And beg from him. In the meantime, having the crowd behind him and all that, the dogs that were there, they started barking, creating a great ruckus. So he just in a huff gets out of it and just flings the door open and just says, to his surprise, what he finds is Buddha standing with a begging bowl with a huge crowd behind him. He says, what do you want? I have come to beg at your place for me and for these people who are in need of food. What do you mean by that? What presumption is that you come, you people are able-bodied and you come over here and beg? Do you mean to say that my barn is filled from heavens? We have to toil, we have to sweat. You know how it is. We have to first till the land, then sow the seeds. And how much trouble it is to till the land and then to get the seeds and sow the seeds and all that. And then we have to cover the seeds. And then we have to wait for the rains. And then the seeds sprout. All this takes time, this takes labor. Do you mean to say that the food just is stored there in the barn like that for you all to have it free of charge like that? And all the followers of Buddha are just listening to this fellow is going on berating Buddha. And then afterwards what happens? The crop is grown, then the ears are there. And do you mean to say that just by having the ears on the crop you get the food? We have to protect that. Protect from the insects, protect from thieves, this, that and all that. And we have to keep vigil day in and day out. Protect them from cattle eating it away. You mean to say that it comes from the heaven? My barn is full with all this food just like that? And you come here to just put your bowl there and want food like that? And then afterwards what happened? We do the harvesting. And it's not an easy thing. We have to then separate the chaff from grain and all that. Then we have to wait for the seasonal winds to blow so that the chaff is blown away and the grain is collected, which you will not understand, of course, because you being from the States. And all this is there. There is a procedure for all that. Have you ever given a thought how the grain is collected and all that? No. Nowadays the machine goes there and everything is finished in the machine. But those were the years when it was sheer labor. And it was a pleasant labor. Because while doing that, they would sing songs to the bestower of all the gifts, the benevolence. So he is berating Buddha all the time like that. And after we have had the crop, we have separated the corn, we have to fill in the bags, and the bags are there, and we have to keep a vigil, lest some thief comes and robs us away and all that sort of thing. And then eventually we put it in the barn. At the end of a whole year of slogging, sweating, we fill the barn. And you come here just on a single day and want food like that. And then he was frothing. He was so furious, being disturbed from his sleep and seeing the sight. He had no more words now to berate. And so he stood there gaping at them. And Buddha says, you are so right, so very true. You really have to work hard and you have to sweat. With the sweat of your brow, you collect all this in the barn. And at the end of a year, the season is over, the cycle is over, and you do collect it. I am also a laborer. I also labor. But how fortunate you are that you reap the fruit of your labor at the end of 1 year. My labor is such that I have to labor for many, many generations. And after nurturing it properly, after seeing to everything and all sides, one solitary fruit I collect and put in the barn. That is the soul. So the farmer, who was not just a foolish person, he was an intelligent person. He realized with whom he is speaking. He immediately prostrated before him and opened the barn. He said, have as much as you want. My Lord, I mistook you for a beggar. He said, yes, we are beggars. But in our beggary is the richness of the emperors. So that's another story. You had heard this story?
I have kind of one, but it's not really, doesn't really have a moral or anything. It's just the part that I remember reading for this day.
Because he has to labor for every little soul and so many reincarnations and all that, he has to see to that. And after so many reincarnations, one soul, one fruit is ripe, and that he puts in the barn. His barn. Mm-hmm.